Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what really did happen in Stoll, Kansas that made it a gateway to hell?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, and if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. We'd love to hear it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would rather listen to an ad-free version of the show, you'll also get advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. You can do that a few ways. Go to Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon, I've got a couple episodes where I'm doing something a little bit different.
Well, I love that. That is so what do I want to say?
Fun, different, whatever.
Fun, different, kind of exploratory. Yeah,
exploratory.
Let's see how this goes. Yeah.
So last couple episodes ago, I don't know how many episodes, like 5 or 6 episodes ago, we did one that's called The Haunted Farm Part 2. And that was about Kansas and the Bloody Bender family. Listen to it if you haven't. I think it's really interesting. Also listen to Part 1. But in Part 2, you and I were talking about Stoll, Kansas, and how there's a gateway to hell in this little ghost town in the middle of Kansas. And so I was talking about doing an episode on the Grave Talks where we discussed it. So what I'm doing is for a couple episodes and on and off going forward, if I hear a good ghost story on the Grave Talks, I'm going to share it with you here on Real Ghost Stories.
I love that. That's going to be so fun.
Yes. Yeah, so this one today is about the Stoll, Kansas incident, what happened. And when you hear this story, there's definitely folklore in this story. The guy who is telling the story is Micah Campbell. He wrote a book on the book is called Urban Legends, Ghost Stories, and Folklore. So part of this story, it's like, you don't believe it. It's very folklore, urban legend sort of story. But there's enough to the story that people still go there and they consider this little town in Kansas to be a gateway to hell.
I have always said if there is an urban myth or even rumors or something like that, it may not be completely true, but oftentimes there's a bit of an element of truth to it, right? That there's a little piece of it that actually started all this talk. And then, you know, as it went from one person to another, it got bigger and bigger, you know?
Right. And so it was real interesting to talk with Micah about different stories like that, because there's some truth, you know, it's started somewhere, or you'll hear stories that are kind of similar. In my town, we have a lady that walks by the lake and she's all in blue. Or maybe your town has a lady in white that walks through a park or a cemetery. You know, we all seem to have kind of similar urban legend stories. And so it was a very interesting conversation. But the Stoll, Kansas one, he actually explored it with a group of friends when he was in his early 20s.
Well, it does say it's a gateway to hell. And that's pretty big.
That's a big deal.
That's
and there's only
deal.
Like 7 or 8 of them, and one's in Rome, and, you know, they're like all over the world.
I'm thinking gateway to hell, that's pretty darn big.
Yeah.
And it's a little scary because it's not that far away.
Right. So as I play this story, and it's Micah and me talking, if you hear something you need to talk about in the middle of it, don't hesitate to speak up, okay?
Okay. All right.
Here you go.
That town is, you can't even call it a town. It's one street. The entire Stoll, Kansas is one street that is probably a football field long, maybe a little longer. And it is 3 houses, then like a church, a post office, and 2 more houses. And all those houses are on the left side of the street. 3 houses, a post office, a church, and 2 more houses. That's the entire town.
Oh, and you forgot to mention, and the gateway to hell.
That's and the gateway to hell.
It's got that.
Because
too.
On the other side of the town, on the north side of the town, taking that full 100 yards or so, the full football field length of the town, on the other side of the street is a cemetery. And so the story behind Stoll is that it is one of the 7 gateways of hell. And so much so, this is such a believed notion that actually the Pope, and it doesn't matter who is presiding as the Pope, but the Pope, when he is visiting the United States, his plane will not, their flight plan will not pass over Kansas. they that will actually go around it. He will not cross over the gateway of hell. So that's how deep the belief of this particular urban legend goes.
Did you just say you can't believe that?
Well, no, it just cracks me up that the Pope won't fly over it, but he'll let the rest of us all live right around it. You know, it's like, well, you guys, each man for himself, I guess.
Huh? Well, I guess maybe if it's a gateway to hell, the Pope's a bigger catch than you or me.
Well, that is true. That is true now that you think about it, because he is, you know, the, you know, God's representative on earth. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Going back to this story.
Long ago, you know, before the town was really established, I guess it's probably while it was trying to be established, and the reason it's not could be because of this. But a church, the priest of the church, and it's really cool because you can actually see the foundation of the church still. If you were to visit Stoll today, now today it's guarded, it's fenced off. They have patrols and dogs there, especially around like the equinox or Halloween or you know, anything like that. Yeah, just because of paranormal investigators, kids wanting to see what's going on. So it's very guarded now. Back when we went, it was guarded, but the church was still standing. There was no roof on it, but the four walls were still up, which was sick. It was just so much fun. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So church pastor or priest, I guess you'd call him, he had a relationship with one of the parishioners, and he ended up impregnating her, and she told him that she was pregnant. And instead of coming clean and, you know, taking care of her and dealing with that the way he should have, he publicly, after a sermon one Sunday, publicly accused her of witchcraft. This was when she started showing, so that when he couldn't ignore it anymore. Accused her of witchcraft, sentenced her to death, and the congregation killed her that night, hung her from a tree hanging right outside of the church, killed her that night, buried her, and carved the word witch with two T's, W-I-T-T-C-H, into a stone as her headstone. And the story goes that the child that was basically born out of this tryst was still, or not born, but conceived out of this tryst, was born in the grave. And basically born to death. And so instead of crawling up, it crawled down to hell. And there is a stairway that the baby made on its descent into hell. And that stairway is a gateway to hell.
Okay, so that's the part that is kind of urban legend-y,
obviously. Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably a little bit, you know.
But that's the story. So
it's a interesting one for sure.
Yeah, because, and then I'll mention it in a minute here coming up. But, you know, because she would have been an innocent person. The baby would have been innocent. I don't like to think the baby crawled down to hell. But, you know, with a priest, a church, a hanging, the congregation mm-hmm. goes crazy. They kill a woman at a church. Then they bury her right there. Maybe that's the energy that makes it a gateway to hell. I'm not sure.
Well, it is pretty dark energy, that's for sure. That right. kind of mob mentality.
Yeah.
Of getting, he must, that priest got him all pumped up and excited about, you know, this witch.
Which is
thing.
What they did back then. It was like, I can make this problem go away by accusing her of witchcraft. And yeah. that's what he did.
Hey, why did they spell it wrong?
I don't know. I don't know if they just
accidentally spelled it wrong.
Does anybody know how to spell witch? Or maybe it's like in two pieces. Maybe these people thought they were doing the W-I-T and those people were just doing the C-H. And then they're done and they're like, well, crap. And let's just leave it because that was a lot of work. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. So interesting.
We'll continue on.
Okay.
They had put a well over it. And that well is still there. They demolished it, but that the stonework of the well is still there as well. So you've got the slab of the church, you've got the trunk of the tree, which they cut down. I think they cut down, I can't remember when. I think I said it in my book.
I think it's 1998 is what I have.
98, okay. And they cut it down because of people trying to go and see what, you know, it became too dangerous. So they basically started demolition on all of this. But you can still see the stump. You can still see the well covering, and you can still see the slab of the church there. And, you know, like I said, yeah, the Pope won't fly over it. There's really cool stories of celebrities that will go and visit it and come away with, you know, with feelings of being haunted or being touched by something nefarious there. You know, it's a really, really cool story.
Now, when you went, the walls of the church were still up, is that mm-hmm. where you put the bottles in a cross and then you threw them at the church and you couldn't break the bottles? Was it the church wall that you were throwing them at?
Yes. Yeah. So one of the legends, the rumors, part of this legend is that within the four walls of the church, there was it is probably the two worlds connecting, right? So there was probably a little bit of I don't want to say magic. Magic's not the right word, but some kind of supernatural force. Anyway, so the story goes that if you were in the four walls of the church, the outside elements would not affect you on the inside. So wind, rain, snow, nothing like that. And so the first thing we did when we found the church was we went inside to see if we could still feel the wind and, you know, the drizzle and things like that. And this could have been placebo, but we swore to each other that we couldn't, right? So in our mind, in our minds, we really thought that when we were inside the church, inside the four walls, the elements weren't really affecting us. But the real test came when the second part of this story is that if you were to put two bottles in the shape of a cross and then throw them against the stone, that you couldn't get them to break. And so being the young 23-year-old idiots that we were, we had some beer bottles. We did that. We crossed them and we threw them. And no matter how hard we threw them, honestly, I'm not making it up, for real, they didn't break. And that's when I got freaked out.
And beer bottles should break when you throw them against a stone wall.
Correct. Right. I've broken some beer bottles before, and they did not break. No one could do it. Out of all five of us that were there, we all tried because at that point we're freaking out and making too much noise. And yeah, we couldn't get them to break.
And you were also able to find the stone, the WITTCH.
Yes.
Which stone?
So, right. So that was actually placed inside the I don't know how you would call it a manhole, right? But of course it's not, because it's stone, but it's what's covering the well. And so inside on that stone itself, it's all shattered and it's covered now. But if you dig through it, and I don't know what they've done to it now, this was years ago, we uncovered the big mountain of rocks that they had put on top of it, and we actually found the headstone, and it was still there, WITTCH. And of course, it was broken and it was shattered in pieces, but it was still there. I think I lamented in my story that I sure as heck wish we had cell phones back then, because I mean the pictures that we could have had, and it just too much cool stuff that we really don't have anywhere, but just in our memories, because obviously no cell phones.
When you did get out of there and chased out of there,
yes,
is what. Is the real term of what happened. You were chasing. Right.
Well, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess we can comment on that real quickly. So like I said, now everything is torn down. They really won't even let you in the town. I mean, you'll get the stink eye. You'll get called on if you can go into the town, because there's no reason for any outsiders to be there. So we went at witching hour, because if you're going to do something with the other side, what better time between, you know, midnight and three? Right. There's no better time. So we went, at the witching hour, and we were at the top of the hill overlooking the town, and there was one guard with a dog. It was a Doberman. And now at this time there was only a chain link fence, and you know, there were some stone columns on the corners, right? But there was nothing too hard to jump at this point. Yeah, we're looking at this guard, this dog. And of course it's a Barney Fife, you know, and no offense to folks who are security guards, right? That's a great service. And but this was not a police officer, not a highly trained. He probably didn't even have a gun. He probably just had a nightstick and a flashlight. Who knows? Of course, being out in the dark, I guess you might want to firearm out in the dark by yourself. So maybe he did. But anyways, yes, there was a guard there. So we had to park up on a hill behind these trees, and we you know, ninja snuck over to the fence, and then as soon as he was on the other side of the graveyard, sure enough, one by one we hopped the fence, did all of our hijinks, our exploration, investigation. Like I said, we were making too much noise at the end trying to break those bottles and just being, you know, just being hyped up about this cool thing we had found. Yeah, we hear the dog barking and we hear him shouting, and we end up getting chased through the graveyard, back over the fence, jumping into the, I can't remember, was it a minivan or if it was like a old SUV, but, you know, it fit five of us, and jumping in there. And actually one of our friends hit his head jumping in and actually got knocked unconscious.
Oh my God.
That's how fast we were moving. So he hit his head, got knocked unconscious. We had to drag him into the van, and we peeled it, you know, peeled out. So yeah, that was a pretty great experience altogether. The supernatural stuff and just the adrenaline rush of being chased by a cop and a Doberman.
And you went to the portal to hell, all of that in one night.
Right. Yeah. There's only one. There's only one in the United States. And yeah, and that's it. So it's pretty, pretty good company.
Isn't that a crazy story?
Who are these people that live there still?
Oh, I don't
want anyone else in town.
I don't think there's really many people that live there. But since it's considered a portal to hell, like you said, you know, I think at certain times of year, people kind of descend on the area and they don't want them to. And there's probably some people with farms and there's probably a few houses. I just think there's not a town like a store and a gas station, stuff like that. So I think the town itself is like, in fact, I can look up and see the population. I think the town itself is pretty ghost town-like.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
That is fascinating. I can't believe I'm that close to a gateway to hell.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of urban legend that goes with it.
I do too, but you know, I would like to know more about this girl. Like, who was she?
How old
was she? She was someone. Like, is there just no record of her?
And what happened to the priest? Like, he has her killed, and did he just go on to the next parish? Because maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
I would like to know more about the people involved in this story. I wonder if there's any way to find that out.
I don't know. But it's also one of those stories. Do you want to dig too deep? Because you are researching the portal to hell.
That is true. That is true. But I just wish that, you know, there would be some sort of peace that she could have.
Exactly. You know, the whole story is pretty much an urban legend. But when he tells the story of him and his buddies going to figure, you know, we're going to go find this. Because he lives just across the state line in Missouri, not too far. Him and his buddies are like, we're going to go check this out. So it turns into a pretty good ghost story.
I would agree that with anyone that says that this happened, that a priest impregnated the girl and then got the people fired up, called her a witch. I think that could all be very valid.
But, you know, I also think there's portals all over the place.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was in Chicago, and we did a ghost hunt, my friend James and I. And we did a ghost hunt, and it was on the campus. Is it DePaul University?
Well, DePaul's there. Yeah.
I think it's DePaul University. That they're like, and this is a portal to hell. And it was like this lovely little garden area.
What?
And James is like, should we walk across it? And I'm like, I don't know if I feel very comfortable. But we did.
Okay.
So I don't get the difference. Like, is this a big one? So we need to do a little research.
Or what's
on
the
that.
Difference between a gateway and a portal?
Right.
Is there a difference?
Because this is a gateway to hell.
Right. Yeah, that was a good story, though.
Well, thanks. I thought that one was pretty interesting myself. So if you want to hear that whole episode, Micah had all kinds of great stories. You can find that. There's two episodes, part one and two. You can find that on The Grave Talks. And if you like this show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through applepodcast.com. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.